I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
Hello, mourners, and welcome back to RAP Diets. I am the Grim Reaper and the host of this show. This is Emily Lubin, and I'm sitting here today with a very special guest, my good friend and former co-host of Good Bodies.
Oh, a tear just slid down my face.
Speaking of RIP, rest in peace, Good Bodies. Lauren Hope Crass is in my apartment. How are you doing, Lauren?
Hi, everyone. I'm doing good. I'm talking to the listeners again, not you.
Good. Well, yeah, we're talking to each other, but we're also talking to an invisible audience.
I assume a lot of your listeners have the crossover with Good Bodies.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, in case you have only listened to RIP Diets and you haven't listened to Good Bodies, Good Bodies was a show that Lauren and I hosted for Betches Media. We no longer host. We actually just recorded the last episode this past week, and it was very bittersweet.
It was sad.
Yeah.
I almost cried.
You did, and I was hoping that you actually would.
Well,
but
didn't
know
you were going to get all ooey-gooey. You're not my ooeyest of gooeyest friends, and I just showed up to, like, say the announcement, and Emily's in the chair, like, the best thing that happened to me was meeting Lauren and our kid. And it's like, and that's true. Like,
it's
our
true.
Connection is so, so special to me. I just wasn't emotionally prepared to go there on an ending day. And I legitimately had to, like, stuff my feelings down, or I would have sobbed on the spot.
It's interesting that you think that about me. I've heard you say that before, that you don't think I'm that emotional. I consider myself to be very emotional. And oddly enough, I feel like the listeners have heard me at some of, like, my most emotional.
No, I think you're very emotional. I feel like I think maybe I, like, have misjudged you, because every time you're so sweet to me, I'm like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. You know, it might be just my own insecurity.
Or
honestly.
Maybe just throwing this out there. Maybe it's because you know me so much in a co-working environment that I'm always on my A game or something.
Emily, that's what it is. Because so we have a very special relationship. It is on par to me with, like, romantic relationships. We've had a creative relationship for over a year, like constantly in contact, making content for a year. Like, that's a relationship.
Totally.
But it was in the context of a professional work environment, even though it's, like, a fun
Well,
job.
It's different. Like, when you work with somebody in podcasting, or I imagine it's the same with any creative endeavor, but when you work with somebody on something that is so personal and it taps into your personal life so much, the boundaries get blurred. And that's not always a good thing.
Right.
Like, that can put you in some harmful situations with people who are nuts.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've been in those situations before where, like, you know, you're working together, but they think that you're their best friend, or, you know.
Well, I'm so fucking gullible. If somebody acts like they're my best friend, I think they're my best friend.
We're actually enemies and you don't know it.
Like, I wouldn't have any idea.
Get the fuck out of my house.
Oh my
Lauren.
God.
Well, Lauren actually did come on an episode of RIP Diets. I think it was the season premiere of season 2.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Yes, and it was the first time we ever met. My friend Tracy, who Tracy has been on the podcast too, Tracy Carnazzo, she connected me with Lauren because she knew I was doing this podcast, and she was like, do you know Lauren Hope Crass? And I said, no, who is this elegant middle name person?
Stop.
No, because I whenever somebody uses their middle name as part of their name or their stage name, I'm like, there's something elegant about it.
Thank you.
Which I'm sure you hear that all the time.
Well, I hear I'm a diva because of it. But it's really just because I used to hate my last name growing up because it was my absent father's name. And meanwhile, my whole family was Salvador, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's so beautiful.
Yes. You know, I relate to that because my name is Lubin and my mom's maiden name was Palladino.
Oh, that's nice.
And I used to kind of fantasize that that was my name.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I still don't like Lubin, but now, like, I find the humor in it. Like, I did earlier on when I was doing stand-up comedy, I made t-shirts and I tried to sell them, and it had my picture, me doing like a stank face, and then it said, put the lube in, let's have some fun.
Oh my God, I love that.
I know, I wish I still had them. I would give you one.
Really good.
Yeah, although I don't actually think I made plus sizes, which...
You are problematic.
I was very problematic back then. Super problematic back then, but that actually is a good segue into what I wanted to talk with you about today.
Oh, please.
So these are mini episodes. I decided to start doing these because I want to have more laid back conversations with friends.
Yeah.
And I just love shit talking with my friends. And I know the listeners love the vibe of that too.
Yeah.
So this is a segment that I call I Have a Bone to Pick.
Mm-hmm.
I told Lauren all about the segment.
You know, I listen to your show too.
I actually did not know that. So you're familiar with the segment.
I know.
Okay, so I told Lauren, come in and air your grievances. Come in and we're going to talk shit about something, but it has to be related to A, diet culture, or B, the wellness industry, mm-hmm. or one thing that I love hearing Lauren talk about is plus size woes.
Body stuff.
Body size, you know, anti-fat bias.
Yeah.
She's amazing when it comes to all of those issues.
Oh, thanks, Emily.
So, Lauren, what is your bone to pick?
Well, I have many bones to pick.
You can come back on anytime.
I need to come back. But I really want to say I have a bone to pick with clothing companies who want to charge extra for plus sizes.
I've heard of this,
yeah.
But I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't actually seen the difference. Like, I haven't noticed it. And I do, somebody's probably listening like, well, bitch, you're not looking at the plus sizes. I do, actually, because I look to see if a company has plus mm-hmm. sizes before I want to support them.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. No, I think it's really important.
Honestly, that is, I just said that on Abby Sharp's podcast. She was like,
I love Abby Sharp.
Yeah. She was like, what can your straight size friends like do to be allies to people in bigger bodies? And I was like, they're not gonna like this, but like, try to shop at places that have inclusive sizing. Like, people pay attention with the dollar, you know?
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. So anyways, thank you for doing that.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, I listen, I don't need the credit. I have also,
but I will give you credit.
But I will be upfront and honest, like, it wasn't that long ago I was an active consumer at Brandy Melville.
I know.
And this was prior to me learning, well, skirt, back the fuck up. I knew they were a bad company.
Yeah.
I knew that they didn't have very many sizes in that they just had one. But I didn't know how insidious it was. I didn't know the extent of like what a fatphobic, homophobic, racist company it is.
Yeah.
I didn't realize like every time I was buying things there that I was supporting an actual cult. Like, I didn't realize the extent of it. So now I do still have some stuff that I'm not going to like not wear it, you know, mm-hmm. like my sweatpants are from Brandy Melville. Like,
yeah.
Stuff like that. But I do not shop there anymore. And I have made a vow to not
shop
there.
Well, that's how I am with stuff like Shein and stuff. It's like, I will only buy Shein if it's secondhand. Like, I will not give money directly to Shein for many reasons. I mean, I know there's, you know, all sorts of issues with lots of companies that I shop at, I'm sure. But Shein is like horrible.
Yeah.
Well, so I did look into this before telling you about this bone to pick. And I think the main place that still exists is with like major big box department stores like JCPenney or Macy's. I mean, I need to circle back on the Macy's thing because I'm now like good friends with their plus size buyer, which is like a whole nother story.
Oh yeah. Well, Lauren put out an amazingly hilarious video about plus size shopping, and you may have seen it on your feed. This was like over a year
ago. It was one year ago? Yeah.
Yeah. So that was Macy's that she was trying on clothes.
Yeah. And Macy's reached out and they were like, hey.
I love that they reached out, by the way. I really love that they like saw it as a good thing.
No, I mean, she's cool. Her name's Elena. It was her first day as the buyer, which was the same day that video was posted. So it was kind of Kismet or Beshert or whatever you want to. Mm-hmm.
It is Beshert.
Whatever you want to say. But yeah, it's mainly the big department stores that still do this, because I did. I was like, let me look up who's not doing this and give them credit, you know?
So when you say this, you're talking about the pricing things higher?
Yes.
For being plus size. So can I ask, what typically would the price difference be? Like if it was a, I don't know, like a cotton tank top.
Yeah.
What would the price difference typically be for plus size?
So I feel like a cotton tank top in this example would be maybe like $9.99 straight size, $16.99 plus size.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. And it's really stupid. Like if we were to, like if we had matching crop tops, which we should totally
we
get,
should
by the way.
Get that.
And if we put our matching crop tops, I'm like a 2X, 3X, whatever, if the listeners don't know. If we put our crop tops next to each other, mine actually doesn't take that much more fabric, if you think about it.
So that's really interesting that you say that. Have you had the experience? I've had this experience so many times where, like, you see a shirt and you're like, oh, yeah, that's totally my size. Like, that totally will fit me. You don't even question it.
Yeah.
Then you put it on and it's like a little doll's outfit.
Always.
Like, I don't feel like only a couple inches actually makes a huge difference in terms of sizing.
Exactly. Like, it's not actually all that much fabric.
It's not.
So I have like a nice girl math equation of why I think this doesn't make any sense. And then I can give you the mean girl math equation, which is what I think these companies are using.
So it's nice girl math and then mean girl math.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with the nice girl math.
So to me, this is how it should be done. So if I'm selling a cotton tank top size small to 6X, okay, that would be 10 sizes. And so it's like, okay, you need a certain amount of fabric to make, you need 100 yards of fabric to make these sizes and all these shirts. To me, nice girl math is you just go, okay, the fabric costs this much money for this many sizes. I'm going to divide it by 10. And then that's what each shirt costs. That is nice girl math. That is basic math.
Right.
That's how we should charge it. Mean girl math is saying, it's very petty. It's like, oh, well, this took a little bit more fabric, so I'm going to charge you more. And it's like, bitch, people come in all different shapes and sizes. Even if fat people were fat due to like a moral deficiency because they did something wrong, like nobody's charging smokers extra when they order a coffee or something. Like, it's so stupid.
That's hilarious.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do you know what I would compare it to?
Huh.
It's kind of like when you go to the market and you get an avocado, you could get 4 for $6, right?
Yeah.
But then you go to Chipotle, you want to add a little bit of avocado, they charge you fucking $2.50 for like a tablespoon of avocado.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense. And it's purely because the company knows that they can rip you off.
Yeah.
They know that you don't have another choice. You're not going to go down the street to the supermarket, get an avocado, and then chop it up and put it on your burrito bowl. So you're trapped. And similarly, you're trapped in that department store. You don't have another choice.
Yeah, and there's like a gaslighting element to it as well, where it's like, oh, well, you cost more. It's harder to make stuff for you. And it's like, that just, I mean, to me, and this is a reach, and I like that I'm saying this in a safe anti-diet space, but I think charging more for plus size clothes is straight up fatphobic.
I don't disagree with you.
I just think it's straight up fatphobic, because if you think about all the things that go into making clothes, it's not just the fabric. It's the team. It's designing. It's paying for, you know, GoDaddy.com for the website. It's like it's so many things besides the fabric. So to say, oh, you take more fabric, so I'm going to charge you more, that's petty.
It is petty. Now, I have a question for you. Ma'am. Have you heard, because I've done research on my own and have only ended up being more confused, because I've seen videos, like I saw a video recently, and I wish I had sent it to you, of a guy who works in fashion production, and he was basically debunking the whole myth that it costs more to add more fabric to plus size clothing. He was basically debunking the whole thing, because, I mean, if you work on the production side of a fashion company, you order yards and yards of fabric.
Yeah.
And it's not really, the way that he broke it down showed that like it actually wouldn't cost that much more. But I've heard other people in the fashion world say, well, it actually does cost more, not just because of the fabric, but because you have to scale it differently.
I was going
to
say.
You have to hire other fit models. You have to account for the way that the clothing's going to lay because it lays differently.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a whole different process. So could it be that that's how they're making up for the difference?
I think it's still, not a good reason because, and this is some tea, but I went to a boardroom at Macy's and sat with all of the executives who worked in fashion and buying.
Oh, I'm on the edge of my seat right now.
And I told them to their faces. I said, I know it's not that hard to make. Like, I said something like, I know it doesn't cost more to make plus sizes. Like, just divide by 10 and then charge everybody the same. And then an executive straight up told me. She was like, actually, it does cost more because we need different fit models and everything you just said.
Okay.
Here's my reply to that. That comes from a logic of straight size being a
the default
baseline thing. It's like you still needed a fit model for sizes small through extra large. Would it arguably cost extra for a plus size company to then make straight sizes? Yes, it goes both ways.
Oh, interesting.
Stop gaslighting us.
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. I have heard, and by heard I mean I have seen nasty people comment like on videos like, well, I don't go into Torrid and ask them to make smaller sizes, which like I just think that's
so stupid.
The dumbest argument that anybody could make.
Yeah.
Because why does Torrid even exist? It's because those sizes weren't being sold at the stores.
Yes, they're filling a need, a much needed hole.
And I've never heard one of my straight size friends say they were jealous because I had to shop at Torrid and they weren't able to. Like, it's just
my Weight Watchers aunt does that all the time. She loves Torrid. She goes, they don't make clothes like that for skinny women. I would love a nice flowy tunic.
What?
Yeah.
She's
like, I wish they had my size here. Like,
she wants a ruffly leopard tunic.
I think she's just trying to be cute and sweet. But I'm like, you can go to Belk and get a straight size flowy tunic.
Yeah, you can find something like that if you really want it. That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I mean, I can only hope that one day we'll be at the point where, you know, plus size clothing companies are making clothing that is so undeniably fabulous and you're seeing it everywhere that like the straight size people want to wear it, you know? But I guess more ideally, it would just be all sizes at every store.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll ever get there. It just doesn't feel like we're going in that direction. So many companies have scaled back on their plus sizes.
I don't mean to be negative, but I don't think we'll ever get there. I think maybe in the future we'll get to close to that. But there's always going to, fat phobia is always going to exist, even if it's like subconsciously. And there's always going to be people who need to feel superior to other people. And I'm not saying like, that all companies that don't have plus sizes are trying to be superior. Like, don't take me out of context. I don't know if you have haters who listen, but
probably.
But I feel like that won't ever happen. But ideally, more stores would have all sizes, and we do have some. Like, you can go to Universal Standard.
Oh yeah.
You can go to there's like a boutique in Soho. Oh, what's it called? It's.
Never fully dressed.
You can go there. Like, there's, but the thing is, it's like you can count them on your hand, the number of stores you can go to where they have one of everything in every size, you know, and like that's manageable. But like, I still need a separated plus size section or I won't know where to look because we don't live in that world yet, you know?
Yeah. You know, we don't have to get too into it, but you did bring that up as a potential bone to pick. And I found it really interesting because, well, you can say it. I'm not going
to
put
words in
your mouth.
Well, the bone to pick is that is sometimes I'll go to stores, like a thrift store. It happened at a Nordstrom once, and I'll ask where the plus sizes, or I'll ask if they have them, you know, and then they'll have like an awkward pause, and then you'll see them like go on this journey in their mind, they'll think of like one size 18 they saw somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll be like, oh, technically, yeah, we do. And I'm like, okay, where are they? And they're like, oh, it's all mixed in. We don't separate. And it's like, that is just forcing me to go on the most sad Easter egg hunt throughout your whole store to look for one size 18 that won't fit me.
Okay. So, yeah. And once you explain it like that, I completely understand. It would be a good system if all of the brands that they carry also had plus sizes.
Yeah.
It's not a good system if maybe there's one or two things in the whole store because now you're picking up things.
That's what it is.
Right.
That's what it is. Never fully dressed. If they said, oh, it's all mixed in, that's fine.
Because it actually is.
Because it is. But I, yeah, it's not. Like, I went, this happened to, after we recorded our final episode. Remember I told you I was like, I need to go look at pretty things?
Oh, yeah. Lauren had to go do some thrifting to heal her inner child.
I was so sad. But I walk in and I go, this is going to make you cry. I go, do you guys have vintage rings? And they said no. And then I go, okay, do you have plus sizes? And they were like, kind of. Yeah, it's mixed in. And then they were like, we have some pants. And I was like, I don't really want pants.
Lauren doesn't wear pants.
What are you talking about, pants? And I knew, and I just didn't.
You just start crying right there.
I almost did because I know what was going to happen. I was going to go to their rack of pants and there was going to be an 18. I keep bringing up 18 because that's like technically a plus size, but I'm a size 22. Uh-huh. And when they go, oh yeah, there's plus size mixed in, it's never my size.
It's just the fact that an 18 would be the biggest size they have.
Right. And they're like, oh, we have plus.
But also, wouldn't they look at you and be like, I'm not going to make this poor girl look through the whole store?
That's what annoys me, is like, it is because people still associate plus size with like some kind of negative thing, and they don't want
to. Oh, they wouldn't want to tell you to your face, we don't have your size.
Right. They would rather lie to me. Yeah, and make mean. Me feel stupid.
Yeah.
While I look around for the 18. Anyways, I don't like that either when they're like, it's all mixed in. And there are a lot of plus size people in my comment section who follow me, and I get where they're coming from. And this is a group of people I never want to come for because these are my friends. These are my fans. These are my followers. But a lot of them have said, like, just put it all in the same place. And it's like, I don't think we're there yet. I think realistically, we need our own section based on the year of our Lord 2025.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I'm glad that you could shed some light on that because I, not being that close to the situation, I would think, well, yeah, equality means that we have everything on the same floor or in the same section. But I can see practically that doesn't make sense.
Practically, because I'm a big dreamer, but I'm also very practical.
Yeah.
It's like when people say, like, not to get too political, but like, yeah, socialism sounds great, but like, well, that's not going to happen overnight. We'll fall apart.
It's, yes.
Like, we can't just do it.
Yes, so mixing plus sizes in with straight sizes, that's the socialism of the fashion world. No, it actually does make sense because, you know, it's like we all share. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, no, I get it. I like it. But it's like, what can we do now? Because I feel like that's a lot of the issues with a lot of like left movements. It's like we have these big ideals that I agree with, but it's like we have to make some baby steps before we get to the utopia that we all want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, wow. I mean, that's kind of a somber note to end on. But no, no, but I've loved...
You can cut this political part out.
No, I think it's a really astute comparison. I thank you for coming in with your bone to pick.
Thank you.
You're welcome on the show anytime, thank by the you. Way. But where can people follow you, and what projects do you have coming up? Where can people support you? I know that you have a major project going on because I've been assisting you with it.
So. I'm laughing so loud because Emily and I are literally working on it.
She's literally right sitting now on my couch and I'm showing her how to edit on my editing software.
So I'm, as you very well know, Emily, but I'm launching my own podcast called Belly Laughs with Lauren Hope Crass. It's on Patreon. It is behind a paywall, but it's very small. It's $2 a month. So please join. I really need subscribers. You guys are my new boss, okay? I need listeners. Emily and I, our shows are like sister shows, really, if you think about it.
I mean, similar themes. You got the wellness component.
Yeah.
But also, Lauren just has a very sparkly personality, and you're going to love listening to her.
I'm silly. I talk about wellness stuff, and I'm very silly. And
very relatable. Also, you know, we do have a ton of plus size listeners that love connecting with other plus size people. And I'm sure you're going to be talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's a little fat heaven over there.
Yeah.
Go join Belly Laughs with Lauren Hope Crass. You can follow me on Instagram at Lauren Hope Crass. And that's pretty much it.
Wonderful. Yeah. Support Belly Laughs, you guys. What is the URL?
Patreon.com/ Lauren Hope Crass, actually. Belly Laughs was taken.
Beautiful. Oh, I wonder who else is.
I don't know if you.
I don't know, but that.
Don't go to that one.
That's not the real Belly Laughs. No. The real Belly Laughs is Belly Laughs with Lauren Hope Crass. And guys, $2? Come on. Like, I'm always going out of my way to support creators that I know work their asses off and do really good work. But most of them charge more than $2. Like, that is an incredible deal. That's like, I live in Brooklyn. That's like not even half the cost of a latte. I know. Go find her there, guys. And until next time, peace, love, RIP diets.